Yo, what's up, people? Y'all already know what it is. Untold Prison Stories with Suave Gonzalez and Ashley McCord, Part 2. Pregnant in prison. You know, we're going to pick up the story where we left off. So welcome back, Ashley. How are you feeling today?
Thank you, Suave. I appreciate that. I'm feeling pretty good. How y'all doing out there? I'm feeling pretty good, actually. You know, getting all, you know, the response and, you know, questions that people was, you know, asking me about what I shared on the first episode. So I'm getting, you know, a little comfortable, and I'm appreciate to be telling the untold stories that's being, you know, going on out there. Basically, who is the true criminals, you know?
Right. So with that said, you know, we left off. You was in the prison. You had staples. You just have given birth. You know, what else do the people need to know about your story? You know, because you went to prison, your mother died the same day you gave birth. They didn't notify you. You had to wait. They didn't let you go to the funeral because you couldn't. You know, what happened next? You end up in that prison cell after you came out the hospital. What happened next?
So now, you know, when you give birth, you're supposed to have a 6 to 8 weeks, you know, postpartum, like basically healing, you know, healing yourself during, you know, giving birth to your child. And around that time, I didn't do my 6 to 8 weeks. I was granted boot camp. So my judge was my DHS judge when I was a child, when I was a juvenile, and the history that go on when I was a kid. You get what I'm saying? When DHS took me from my grandma and moved me with my father. So he knew a little history about me when he sentenced me. He just wanted me to give him time. He just wanted me to give him a year. So I was granted boot camp. So the OBGYN noticed, you know, I've been going through a lot of trauma, a lot of stuff that been happening in my life with death, with my mom, giving birth to my first child, having surgery. So he let me go ahead and get approved to go to boot camp. So it's a vote sheet when you upstate. So SCI Muncie have to have a vote sheet for you to go to boot camp, and you got to get your level dropped to a level 1 or a level 2. Around that time, with my charges, with conspiracy aggravated assault, I was a level 4. So they actually approved me through the jail because they seen all that I was going through, basically giving me some sympathy of what they was putting me through in the jail cells. You get what I'm saying? Up there. So they granted me. So when I was, after I gave birth to 2 weeks, that next week, I was on the road going up to Quay in a boot camp.
Wow.
Yep, and I basically still was not healed all the way. So I gave a promise to the jail that I am going to graduate, and everyone know what boot camp is like. We talking military boot camp. Actually standing 16 hours a day, standing in position, working out, being brought, built back down to bring yourself back up. They got to shave your head and basically make you belittle yourself to make yourself become stronger. So around that time when I was waiting for my ride, I was studying. I was, you know, building myself mentally, physically, and emotionally to face that side of life to get home to my baby girl. So that program was for 6 months. And orientation, all of that. They screaming in your face. They calling you ugly. They calling you bad moms up there. You get what I'm saying? You got 3 minutes to wash. 3 times to push the button when you in the shower. You get what I'm saying? You're not allowed to look in the mirror. You have to be told how you lay. You have to be told how you stand. got to be told how you use the toilet, how you brush your teeth, how you eat. You get what I'm saying? So I went to Quentin Hanna boot camp.
So let me ask you this. Most of the people that run them boot camps, who are they? Women's, black women's, white women's? Who are they?
So the main person, the person that runs that boot camp is Major Blake. That's his boot camp.
Yeah, you but the, I'm talking about the people that's in your face. The people that's telling you ugly. The people
in my face is men and women. The instructors that instructs us, that's supposed to be the CEOs, are men and women.
Black or white?
In your face, black and white. Some, it is very few. You know what? It was only really one black person, which was the major Blake, the one that owned it. So the instructors, I didn't have a black instructor. They was all white with like tobacco in their mouth. So when they told you, they spitting. You get what I'm saying? To the point where they're gonna break you down of what they saying to you.
Wow. So you get to boot camp, you are a high risk for all type of medicals because you just gave for all type of medical conditions because you just gave birth. You still have your staples.
Yep.
Your stitches. And how was that like?
Not on top of that, I was an asthmatic. I'm a persistent chronic asthmatic.
So
in the process.
Hold up. That being the case, did they attend it to your knees?
No. I was treated just like every other inmate up there. Whatever I had got going on with my birth, my mental, what happened to me, they threw my mom death in my face. That was something to break me down to build me up. Disciplining. That's what they call disciplining is. Oh, you're a bad mom. They read your mail. They take your pictures. They make you do push-ups in front of your pictures, telling you you're a horrible person. Why did you do this? Because that's the process of that program. We marching. We working out. Waking up 5 o'clock in the morning.
Okay, I got that part, but I want to know, you being pregnant, I'm assuming that you did some extra bleeding.
Yes.
Did they give you extra pads?
No, I had to order.
So if you didn't have the money, you didn't have the pads.
They were most likely no, because they be stingy with pads. They act like they buy the pads. When it comes down to us women, we can't get pads on a regular, which how it's supposed to be. They act like they don't want to give them to you. Like they take it home.
So you get to boot camp, you do 6 months, then what?
When you I'm guaranteed parole home back to my family.
So you was guaranteed parole home?
Yup, I didn't have to see the parole board, none of that. Once it's like no more, no less. If you get less, I mean, if you doing more time with that just 6 months, that means you did something to violate your decisions, which you wrote off, which you supposed to do.
So you go to boot camp. You go to boot camp. You complete that.
Yes.
You come home. How life has been since boot camp?
It been rough because not only did the system kidnap my baby, I was having trouble fighting for my child outside due to the fact that now me and my child's father, he was in a relationship while I was away with my daughter. So when I come home, I was told from my parole officer, I'm not allowed to get my baby because he was saying he had full custody of my baby.
Did he?
So if I would have took
hold
my
up,
baby.
Hold up. Did he have full custody?
No. I didn't sign my rights when I was away, nothing, but I don't know nothing about it because I'm just the beginning of being a mom. So basically what I've been through was held against me as a mom as well, with loved ones supposed to be there with as family. So I was basically was fighting for my baby when I came home too.
So who has full custody of your daughter now?
I do.
You do. Do the father see his daughter?
Not as we speak.
Now that's
right now.
Okay.
Because it's a domestic thing, been going on since I've been away in 2016.
So it's fair to say that you haven't had the white picket fence life story. Your life been rough since you've been home.
More so, yes, when it comes down to being a U.S. citizen trying to do what's right. Because we all say we don't want to lead back into that, you know, jail cell. But it's so easily when you fighting for the things that you work hard to get home to. So it's like your background holds you against on the wall, like you nail on the wall, trying to do everything you're supposed to do, getting that job. But when you get the job, it's hard to find childcare to equal up your schedule. So it's like it's ongoing problems, but I've been maintaining it as a
so it's black a, woman. It's a continuing struggle.
Yes. It's you harder know. Out. It's getting harder and harder each day.
And what do you think, you know, community groups that parade themselves as being these groups that help people with the type of struggles that you go on? Have they been able to reach out to you and give you a hand or some help? I mean, because let's keep it real, ladies and gentlemen, the listeners, let's keep this real. It is extremely hard to come home from any type of prison time and really get life back together immediately. And it's double the hard when you have children and no assistance. That is extremely hard, you know. And I think it's a shame that a lot of these community organizations act like they help people, like they care about these humanity, about the humanity of these people, but yet they don't show up when people like Ashley come to their door knocking. It's a shame that they just want to use people like Ashley as motherfucking symbols and as tokens, right, to their funders. They want to parade people like Ashley to their funders like this is what we do. But in reality, they don't do shit. Y'all know who y'all are. Y'all know who y'all are. We not going to start naming people right now because we got a bunch of episodes coming. But if anybody out there is listening, you know, and you really about trying to help somebody, bro, it don't take much. Just reach out to Ashley. Whatever you could do is appreciated. You know, we're not just talking about Ashley. We talk about thousands and thousands and thousands of sisters that are going through these struggles. The difference is that today we highlighting Ashley's story. Why?
Yes.
Because it represents the treatment that our sisters get in the system. Continue, Ashley.
Yes, I really do appreciate that because no one have not really came and asked me, okay, all these organizations, some organizations really, they just do what they need to do at that moment, and you don't hear from them. They disappear. They just basically want me to showcase, and I it's hard for me to showcase right now because it's been untold my whole time, and it's hard, and I just feel as though some people just don't know how to pass the baton and just let that other person, because each one teach one. You get what I'm saying? And I just feel as though when a man teach a man, he teach an individual. But when that man teach a woman, she teaches a nation. And just to be heard, that's all. And just to show me the ropes, I will be able to finish it for you. Because I am the finisher. And I've been showing it. And that's it.
I mean, so
give me a chance.
So what would you like the people out there to know? You know,
I want them to know that it's a lot of everyone deserve a chance. We all deserve a chance, like I said on the other episode. And we need justice. Justice to be heard. God is the right way. If we supposed to be a family, let's be that family. Don't tell me we're a family and then I can't turn around and find my family and I'm back to square one again. I'm always participating. I am in the field. I'm in the field right now. But it's hard for me to know to be trusted. How can I trust you to your words? You're just telling me, but it's not showing. Because I can show it. I can give it. Just give people chances. We all deserve a chance. Each one teach one. We all a family. We are a community. This is our community. And if we're able to fix this community, let us all tell it. Fix me. We all.
Wow. So y'all heard. Here you go, people. Y'all heard it. Y'all heard it in her own voice. Ashley McCall's story. And I'm telling you, stay tuned. Because we're going to be dropping episodes on different subjects with Ashley commentating on different things. And again, you know, Untold Prison Stories, it's not only a network to entertain. We are a network to educate people. And I believe that thousands of people could benefit from Ashley's story. I believe that Ashley has the tools that it takes to bring people together so something could be done with these issues when it comes to sisters in the prison system and coming home. You know, so where people can reach you at, if listeners want to help or donate or anything, where can they reach you
at? Thank you. They can reach me at my phone number, 267-928-7854. Or you can email me at Ashley McCoy, as it's spelled, ASHLEYMCCOY, 224@gmail.com. It's your girl Ashley, and stay tuned to all platforms. You heard me?
Yo, and if you heard it here first, then you know it's official. Y'all are listening to Untold Stories with Suave Gonzalez and 7 a.m. We see you soon. Peace.
Peace.